Okay.
How was this exercise? What questions do you have?
How many people found, you have a question, hold on. How many people found that the problem disappeared totally? Good, let's see, that's about 30% of the room. Put your hands down, put your hands up again. How many people found the problem disappeared totally or changed significantly so that it was less of a problem? Put your hand up.
Good.
Oh, that's 60% of the room. How many people found there was no change at all? 1, 2, 3, 4 people. So that's about 10% of the room. That's fabulous. So that's a worthwhile intervention, isn't it? That's a worthwhile intervention. Okay, what questions do you have?
Ah. For once, I don't have to understand what I'm saying.
Je ne sais pas. Je ne comprends pas. Good job, you guys. Fabulous job. By the way, this is the best results we've ever had with this exercise. Now, we did an exercise on quantum linguistics. You guys ended up being very, very good at it. We're tickled. We have a bunch of exercises. We're going to go somewhere else now, then we're going to come back. So where are we going to go?
Let me tell you a story first. During the last centuries, as science developed more and more, scientists were sitting, smuggling the belief that they know almost everything there is to know about the universe we live in.
It was interesting. I think it was 1904, the head of the U.S. Patent Office said, he wrote a letter, to the U.S. Congress, and what he said was, I think you should consider closing down the U.S. Patent Office in 1905 because everything that needs to be discovered has been discovered.
There's really nothing
more to discover, so any patents in the future will be pretty much, useless.
Or redundant.
Yeah, or redundant.
And yet, when scientists started studying the phenomenon called light, well, it wasn't a big deal in the beginning, yeah?
They didn't really notice too much skew. But
then came the question. Was light a particle?
Or was it a wave? That's the same question you could ask yourself. Is light a particle or a wave? So they did an experiment.
If you started in school physics, you probably did this experiment.
They actually did an experiment with light. Okay, you may have done this experiment. You could actually do this experiment. We're on slide number 51. You could actually do this experiment with a shoebox. If you take and put a source of light in a box, and you have one slit, and the light's projected through the one slit, and then lower down, this is slide 51, two slits, what you'll notice is as the light shines through the shoebox, you'll get projected onto the back wall. If you can make the black wall out of wax paper, and what you'll get is you'll get bars of light and dark across the back wall.
So you don't get two bars of light at the back wall. You get a combination of light and dark bands.
Now, let's say, hypothetically, and in this diagram, what we're showing, by the way, is we're showing light across the back at 10 bars. So there's actually 10 light bars and 10 dark bars across the back. Now, that's hypothetically. I don't really know how many bars there would be across the back.
The light and dark bands on the back wall are actually an interference pattern created by the waves of light coming from the source through the three slits and hitting the back wall.
Slide number 51 says light as a wave. So what happens is, theoretically, is the light wave from the source of light, if you did this in a shoebox, you could use a flashlight, yeah? Projected through here, the light waves come here, and then they also go through here, and then what you get is light bars and dark bars across the back. And as Adriana said, it's the interference patterns between the waves that causes the light bars across the back and the dark bars.
That's very simple understood if you refer to a metaphor. I'm sure that when you were kids, at least once in your life, you threw pebbles in the pond. And as you threw a pebble in the pond, you saw that the waves were formed that were going outward. And then from the edges, once they hit the edges, there were waves coming back towards the center. Correct?
You've done that, right? And you drive now. If and you've seen the pebble drops in the pond, the waves go out. When it hits the edge of the pond,
you know, it returns.
Comes back
towards the center. Now, sometimes waves coming from the edges will collide with the waves coming towards the edge.
And they'll cancel each other out. You've seen that, haven't you? Yeah.
That's the same phenomenon happening with the light.
Now, what happens if you drop two or more pebbles in the pond? You drop two pebbles in the pond, and you're going to get serious interference patterns. Now, what we have here is almost like dropping three pebbles because we have two slits on the bottom, one slit at the top. So the light goes through three different slits or has the possibility, which, interestingly enough, will give us alternating bars of light and dark across the back.
So it's confirmed.
Light's a wave, right?
We just demonstrated that light is a wave.
And it is a wave, isn't it? That proves
yeah, that
it, doesn't
proves it?
It,
yeah.
Now, slide 52.
If you replace the back wall with a photographic plate, and if you magnify the result you get, the resulting photograph of the interference patterns, then you can see where the individual particles of light, the photons, hit the plate.
It's actually possible to send one photon of light from the source of light. By the way, a photon is the smallest particle of light which is possible to send. It's possible to send one photon of light, we're on slide 52 now, down the light, or down the from the path, and the photon of light will, interestingly enough, even if we only send one photon of light, it will only end up in the same place where the light bars would have ended up previously. Now, that's interesting. There's even more, though.
There's even more to it. Interestingly enough, the photon of light will always end up where the scientists believe it will end up.
Well, let me give you an example. Let's say we send a photon of light from here down through, and these are called paths of probability now. Yeah? Let's say we send a photon of light. If we measure the photon of light here, 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 and all the way over to here, we'll find the photon of light all the way in every path that we measure, all the way down to the light bar. Except at the very last moment, what happens is it chooses one of the light bars across the back and goes to that one. Now, that's interesting. So if I set up a measuring device, let's run the
slide.
There's this is a single photon of light. What happens is the photon of light goes down. Now, a single photon of light with other photons of light to interfere with it, you'd think that the photon of light could literally end up anywhere on the back wall, wouldn't you? You'd think that. But it doesn't. The photon of light only ends up on the light bars across the back. Furthermore, if I measure this photon of light down this path, I'll find it here. I'll find it here. I'll find it here. I'll find it here. I'll find it all the way down through the first slit, down through the second slit, and all the way onto the back wall. In fact, anywhere that I measure the photon of light, I will find it. Even though I'm only sending one photon, if I measure the photon of light down any of the, well, we say 10 paths of probability, I'll find that photon on every path until, as scientists say, at the very last moment, it seems to choose one of these places to end up, and it ends up in that place.
So, light is a particle.
So light's a particle, isn't it?
I mean, we've just proven that it is a particle. Or is it?
I mean, now that's interesting.
It seems that light has an uncanny ability to behave according to our observation. If we observe it as a wave behaves as a wave, if we observe it as a particle behaves as a particle. Now that's weird.
Here's another example. If I set up a measuring device to measure light from a star that has left that star 350 million years ago, which is 350 light years away, and I set up the light, I set up a device to measure the light from a star. If I measure it as a wave, the light from the star will appear as a wave.
If I measure it as a particle, it will appear as a particle. Now, how does the light that left that star 350 million years ago know how to behave according to my observation now?
Now, this fact bothered Einstein.
Badly.
So much so that he even said, if the observation of a human being can change how the universe behaves, actually he said, even if the observation of a mouse can change how the universe behaves, what is there to say about all of our observations streaming backward over time for 350 million years? Now that's interesting. That's interesting.
So from the quantum physics point of view, we would say that time itself doesn't exist. Past, present, and future, they all are happening now, simultaneously. Because the light who left the star 350 million years ago and changed according to our observation, what does that mean? Did we just change with our observation 350 million years of history?
When quantum physics got a hold of this idea, it shook up a lot of the ideas which were present in physics prior to that. You see, Newtonian physics, Newton said we don't interact with what we observe. He said the observer is always separate from that which he observes, so that the observed is never affected by the observer. Now, in quantum physics, we always and without exception interact with everything that we observe. Now, what are we to say about human behavior? Do you think that the act of observation in human behavior changes the behavior? Well, let me ask you a question. You're at a demonstration, a peaceful demonstration outside of City Hall. And then all of a sudden, the news cameras show up. Do you think it's going to change the demonstration? Do you think it will ever not change the demonstration? No. So the act of observation by a news camera is always going to change the news which is observed. There's no such thing as objectivity. That is the objectivity of the camera. Even a camera is going to change the interaction between people.
Now, what does that say about the act of observing and reobserving past memories for a client that presents you with a problem, and that client dwells and reexamines daily a past memory where the problem resides?
Well, let us give you the answer before you ask. Actually, Ernest Rossi in Psychobiology of Mind-Body Healing, 1986, revised since then, says any observation of a memory will change the memory forever, which is a very, very quantum physics statement. It's a very, very quantum physics statement. So how is it that light could possibly act as a photon and as a wave at the same time? Now, here's another example. Yeah? They did a study of where they actually sent from a source. They did a study where they actually sent out from a source a single photon. So they took and sent out from this source a single photon, and we're going to send that photon. We're on slide number 53.